Before we pray and get into the word, I felt compelled to thank you. Thank you for what? As I've been, as our team, our staff, have been looking for a new building, which, by the way, if you guys are praying for the church, please pray that we find a new building. Many of you guys are like, it's comfortable. It's not comfortable for the kids. Okay, and so we need a move for them. But as we've been looking, I couldn't help but want to thank you because you guys have been so great and so patient over the years. Echo has never really had the perfect building and the perfect time for service. But we are here because of your sacrifice and your willingness to not just be part of this church, but to live according to the teaching of this church. Does this make sense? Like, you're really bought into it. And so I know that often leaders and pastors can maybe even take it for granted that, you know, hey, we all show up. Lately, I've been thinking about how bad our time slot is. We really have it pretty bad. Not to complain, because I'm about to preach on Thanksgiving, but... But I just realized that 4 o'clock is tough. 4 o'clock is tough on families, young families. 4 o'clock is tough on, it's tough on everyone except for singles. Okay, but really it's tough. But so I just want to say thank you. Let's pray. Let's pray not only for the right building, but the right time slot for the next one. Amen? Amen. So I just want you to know that I see you, that I see your sacrifice, and you making it here every Sunday at 4 o'clock matters to us. It matters not to just to you, but matters to the tribe, to the church. And then also those of you that drive from far off places, you know, I just want to thank you for that. Some of you for 10, 13, 14 years, you've been driving from LA to, I don't know, Torrance is far, isn't it? Yeah, like, so, and then of course the east side, the Chino, Corona, and wherever. So, you know, I just want you to know that I'm grateful for you. Is that okay? Yeah? Yeah, all right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that even with these weird time slots and locations, that you've moved our hearts so much that we will still come to seek your face together. You're worth our time. You're worth any sacrifices we have to make to be with you and your church. We thank you for your word. We ask that it go deep today, and that you would transform our lives by the renewing of our mind today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. We are focusing today on this very interesting line in the Lord's Prayer, knowing that Jesus meant everything he said here, and he meant to teach it and relay it to the generations of his followers. And so there's this line that's very interesting. He says, give us this day our daily bread. He teaches us to ask God for daily sustenance. What's weird about this is that scripture is very clear from Genesis to Proverbs, all the way to the epistles, the letters from the apostles, that God wants his people to work for their bread. Let me say it again. It is very clearly stated in Scripture, throughout Scripture, that God values and wants his people to work hard with their hands to produce the bread that they're going to eat together. So why is he asking us to ask for bread? If you read even like Thessalonians, for instance, it says, anyone who refuses to work should not eat. We hear that some people in your group refuse to work. They do nothing but busy themselves in other people's lives. We command those people and beg them in the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly and earn their own food. And so many other passages we can pick out scripture saying, you should work hard. And many of you, if not all of you, do that. So why is he asking us to ask? Is this some just religious formality? You know, hey God, I need your help, but really, I don't need it, or I produced it on my own? Is it just because maybe God wants to hear us ask him for things? Why is it so important that Jesus will put this petition in the Lord's Prayer, or should I say the Christian's most important prayer? Why are we to repeat and ask for this every single day? The hint to this answer is in the word daily. Everyone say daily. You see, if you were the Jews, and you were the audience that were hearing from Jesus at this point, anytime you hear the word daily in conjunction with the word bread, there is a scene or an image that pops to your mind automatically when those two words come together. Because when was the last time God had to give them daily bread? Come on, somebody. Which, by the way, just side note, some of you guys are like, why does PB always say, come on, somebody? I do this not because I want to. It's an obligation. For I have found out many of your children watch these sermons and say, come on, somebody. So I'm doing it for the next generation. I had a little child yesterday at the trunk or treat, and the dad and mom were like, he says, come on, somebody. And I was like, oh. And I was like, come on, somebody. And he was like, Anyways, so what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So those two words always make them think of that time in the wilderness when they needed God to give them bread or sustenance every single day. So, in order to get the answer to why we must pray this prayer and this petition in this prayer, we must go back to that time when this made sense. Amen? So, let's go to Deuteronomy 8. It says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, or should I say, daily bread, right? Manna, the bread from heaven that he gave daily, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Can I get an amen? Yeah. So why is he teaching this? Why is he having us say this? Why is he teaching us to ask for daily sustenance? Lord, provide this day. Because if you do not show up, I will not make it this day. Why is he having us pray that? Because the daily bread is all about salvation and sustenance. Salvation and sustenance. It is to remind you. It is to remind you of your salvation and that God is your provider. Let me say it again. That petition in the Lord's Prayer is to remind you who saved you, who delivered you from the hands of Pharaoh, from the hands and the grip of sin and the flesh. Your trajectory in life was headed towards more oppression and death. And Jesus says, when you ask God for your daily bread, you are reminding yourself that he delivered you and he is the one that saves you and serves you your daily bread. I want to say something to you, a truth that may go against the very nature of who you think you are, but I want to say something to you today. The fact that you and I are sitting here today is because of God's mighty hand. The fact that you still care about God, the fact that you still are curious about the things of Jesus, the fact that you want to come to church at the God-forbidden time of 4 p.m., the fact that you even have a longing to maybe forgive others, the fact that you even have an ounce of desire to follow Jesus and his teaching, all of that comes from the mighty hand of God who delivered you from yourself and the Pharaohs in your life and who is giving you everything you need to survive and thrive. Don't you forget that. Don't you forget that. But here's another question I want to ask you now. I get a PB. Daily bread is about manna. Daily bread is to remind us of salvation and sustenance. Okay? Sustenance. And also the fact that we literally need daily bread. We literally need, you know, food. We literally need, you know, provisions to survive. But why ask it every day? Have you ever thought about that? Some of you guys are more efficient with your time, so you might be like, Jesus, why don't I ask for monthly bread? I think you and I don't need to meet as often. I come to you and I say, I'm here for the monthly bread. Give me enough to last me a month. I'll store it well. I'll make sure it doesn't go bad. But just give it to, or some of you guys are even more bold and you'll say, give me the yearly bread. Hook me up. Give me so much that it just multiplies by itself. I don't want to bother you. Just give me a lot. Give me a lot. Why not ask for enough to have it stored? Here's why. We continue in Exodus chapter 16 now. Okay, remember, daily bread is always about manna. Okay, so in order to know what this is about, we have to go to the book of Exodus. So watch, why ask it for it every day? In the desert, the whole community grumbled. Do we have that text up there? Right. Everyone say the word grumbled. Yeah. Against Moses and Aaron. I feel for Moses and Aaron. This is the worst congregation to lead ever. Okay? I would just be like, just die. Just die. Didn't you just see God save us from... Did you not see the Red Sea split? Have you ever seen the Red Sea split? Die. No, they complain and grumble. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hands in Egypt. Now look at what they say. Look what the grumbling makes them do. The grumbling makes them live in disillusionment. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. Is this true? Did they eat like this under Pharaoh's regime? But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. This is not true. You were starving under Pharaoh, right? Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. There's the manna, right? The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day, just enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instruction. Here's why Jesus has us praying and asking and petitioning for bread daily. Because every day we are tempted to forget where we've come from. And every day we are tempted to grumble and complain. And we're tempted to think that the past without God is better and was better. How many of you guys know it's better to starve as a free man or woman with God in the wilderness than an enslaved person under Pharaoh? But we forget. So every day he says, ask, because every day you're going to be tempted to complain and to forget, right? And every day you're also going to be tempted to think that you made the bread happen. What does that mean? Not just daily temptation to complain, but the daily temptation to think that you are the provider. It's called confidence in yourself. So dangerous when we forget who is the one giving to us. So dangerous when we go into a life of grumbling and complaining. But also the flip side of that is just as dangerous when we think we, with our hard work, has provided everything that our lives would ever need. Complaining and arrogance takes us away from the living God. So that's why he has us do it every day. So, if I can say it this way, every day we are tempted, okay, to forget, and we're tempted to be self-confident. Another way I put it is we're tempted to be arrogant, right? And we're tempted to forget. We might get spiritual amnesia. God designed the Lord's Prayer so that we would not become arrogant and that we would not forget the Lord. Let me go back to Deuteronomy. Now, it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Before I go on, I just want you to hear that again. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. This is addressed to people who have seen the mighty acts of God. So it is all the more relevant and pertinent for us, isn't it? If they can forget God when there's plenty in the land, we too can forget God when there's plenty in our hand. That rhymed. Otherwise, you, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Hello? Before I move on, I want to say this to you. Are you wealthy? Some of you guys are like, no, PB. Look at you guys, all trying to play victim right now. Let me ask it again. Are you doing okay? Let me ask it again. Are you worried about tonight's dinner? You're doing okay. The problem is, if you're in this situation, you're now among the people who are living in what I will call the promised land reality, which is you are living in a land of milk and honey. And you're like, not me, PB. You should see my Beamer. It's old. It's 3 years old. No. The fact that you're living in a promised land reality is actually, it's a blessing, but it's also a very dangerous place to be. Because you will be tempted to think that all of this is you are entitled to. Think about the last time you prayed over your meal. I know for us, my family, sometimes just getting my family to the dining table is a feat in itself. And we get there and you know, my wife and I, we look at the food and it's going to get cold. And have you guys ever done the drive-by prayer where you're like wanting to eat, so you just go, okay, someone just pray. Okay, you pray. Oh, Lord, thank you. It's like we're auctioning off the prayer. And then we eat, right? I want you to think about how many times in the last month you actually sat and looked at the food you're eating and said, man, thank you for this meal. I can't believe I have a job. I can't believe you've given me the wisdom and the skill set to produce wealth. I can't believe that it's even enough to feed someone other than me. I can't believe you put a roof over my head. Oh, Lord, thank you for this meal. We are here and alive because of you. And I will not forget it. Sometimes, not all the time, when we do that kind of prayer, I will stop the family and we will re-pray. Because I'm like, yo, dude, do you think God needed that prayer? Do you think God is off in the on the side, like really, like emotionally offended? Like, I can't believe they did such a passerby prayer. They didn't even think of me. No, you need the prayer. You need the prayer. This is why I love old school, like, you know, like our parents' generation who pray for an hour over their meals. Have you ever seen those people? Those people are the scariest people at weddings, aren't they? Because they'll say, like, Reverend Chang from the Full Gospel Church of the Koreanness, right, will come out and they'll pray over the wedding reception meal, and you're sitting there like, this is longer than the sermon. But I'm convinced, I used to make fun of them, I used to be bothered, and I used to be terrified by their prayers. But I'm convinced they pray like that because they know what it means to be hungry. They have all been hungry before. We do it because it's a formality. Hey, yo, thanks, God. Hey, you and me, hey. So dangerous. It is so dangerous to be blessed. No? All right. So, why is it so dangerous? It's arrogance, spiritual amnesia, but there is one more thing that happens when we become blessed and we forget where all the bread came from. And that is, we are tempted to abandon God. We are tempted to abandon God. They say in America during COVID, a lot of people left the church. A lot of people left their faith. I honestly believe many of them sure faced crisis, faced like grief that maybe they can't handle, maybe loneliness and depression. Sure, that's the reality we got to face, right? It has happened. But I honestly believe many Christians walked away from God, or at least their fervent faith, because in the COVID time, they realized to themselves that maybe they don't need God to survive. Man, I'm doing okay without the church. I got my friends. I got my job and I'm still able to feed my family. What good is it if I go to church? I didn't go to church for 3 months, so it's all right. And so the temptation arises that maybe I don't need God. And so they abandon God. But this only happens to those who are experiencing either financial wealth, come on somebody, or physical blessing. And what I mean by that is it's often very hard to seek God when you're healthy financially and physically. And now I'm not saying God will now bring diseases on you or God will strip you of your finances. Of course, that's not God. Of course, God doesn't want that. But man, I tell you what, why is it that those that are sick, those that are suffering, and those that have no savings have some of the most coveted fellowship with God? Because they are not arrogant. They can't afford to forget God, and they have not left God. They are desperate for God. Huh? You don't believe me? The two greatest challenges for you as American Christians is this, is prosperity, power. Prosperity and power. There you go. Power and prosperity. I said it backward. And when those two exist in your life, there's a third thing that comes out of it, and it's privileges. Power and prosperity is the biggest detriment to your faith. Now you're like, oh my God, but when I work hard, I get more power. And when I do serve God at my work and in my world and I do well, I seem to prosper. Is this a curse? No, it's how we respond to it. But I will say, without God and without a spirit of the Lord's Prayer in us, as we cry out to God in desperation, if we don't have that, this is a very hard thing to harness and control. These two things that exist in every one of your lives will destroy you if you do not lay it before God every day. PB, I don't believe you. Okay. Nyla Sayaya, in her article, Proof That Political Privilege is Harmful for Christianity in Christianity Today, she writes, in our statistical analysis of a global sample of 166 countries from 2010 to 2020, we find that the most important determinant of Christian vitality is the extent to which governments give official support to Christianity through their laws and policies. As governmental support for Christianity increases, the number of Christians declines significantly. Did you hear that? 7 of the 10 countries with the fastest growing Christian populations offer low or no official support for Christianity. Paradoxically, Christianity does best when it has to fend for itself. State favoritism of religion inadvertently suppresses it. Did you hear that? In America, because we're so powerful and so much privilege and so much prosperity, we want to now exercise that at every level, even at the state level. We want more power, more privilege, more control over everything to protect all that we think God gave us. But what you and I don't understand is all the stats show that when Christians are in power or supported by power, we too forget our God. And we get corrupted. And we get separated. You see, when I look at the news and I see all these Christians wanting power, right? Wanting to take over the land, wanting to stay in control, wanting to control government, wanting to even control laws. Yes, I know the intent is good, but I just want you to know the outcome is often so bad for us. Do you understand Christianity is always at its best when it's a revolution? When it's a movement of people dependent on God and always fighting for people who need God. Does this make sense? So even when we're prospering, we need to have a poor in spirit attitude. Meaning we too know what it looks like to be enslaved. We too know what it looks like to be broke. We too know what it looks like to be, you know, oppressed under regimes that are unfair for certain people. And when we see that, we go, no, it's not about taking over. It's about praying with them. It's about companioning those that are suffering. It's about sitting with them and not just trying to change the world. I know, it's so anti what you were taught, many of you growing up. Grow up and change the world. Get in seats of power and change. Sure, do that if you're in that. Hopefully you'll have a better record than other Christians who got power and then misused it. But we do best when we're interceding, praying, and saying, God, give us bread for everybody. Everybody needs your bread. And so do I. So before I get to what do we do from here? I need you to first, before you attack the world and you look for oppressors to fight, I need you to first see that you yourselves might participate in Pharaoh's regime because you yourself are a person who are so prosperous, have so much power and so much privilege. So when you pray the Lord's Prayer, you are saying, Lord, I recognize that I have all these blessings that can actually be turned into not such a blessing for others under me. So the Lord's Prayer is to teach you to humble yourself and seek God daily, knowing that when you're that blessed, you too can be corrupted. It was the last week when I talked about how America being one of the richest, wealthiest nations that has in it probably more Christians than any other nation, at least in power, in political power. We are the most uninviting country in the world. We do not want the poor and the asylum seekers and refugees on our doorstep. I want you to hear how crazy that sounds. We are people that ask God for daily bread. And then when people who need real daily bread, we say, go fend for yourselves. This is a country that claims Christianity but has forgotten the Lord's Prayer. I just want one amen. Amen. Oh, it's so hard to give you the amen, PB. It's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard. What do I do? PB, what do I do? This is what you do. I want you to acknowledge God. Okay? Let's go to our plan for the day. How do you keep your daily bread fresh? I want you to acknowledge God. If you don't want to end up like that kind of Christian, you don't want to end up someone who's not dependent and broken before God, I want you to do this. I want you to acknowledge God. Every day. You know what acknowledging means? It means to give thanks. It means to give credit where credit is due. Every day this week, I want you to try something. Just do it for 1 week for me, okay? It's going to be so hard, but I'm going to promise you it's going to be so good. You want to pray the Lord's Prayer? You want to pray this line well? Every time you're in front of a meal, I want you to take your meal. You don't have to do this part, okay? But in your heart, I want you to raise it to God. Now, if you have meals, you can do this at home. You can do that too. And your kids will be like, what's going on? But I want you to raise it to God, right? And in front of your family or your friends, some of you should do this at restaurants. They'll freak people out. I want you to stand and be like, this spaghetti. I want you to raise it high and say, Lord, I acknowledge that all of this is from you. This week, I want you to pray for every meal with deep sincerity and thanksgiving. Don't do passerby, drive-by prayers. I want you to actually sit and look at that. The hands that went in to make it. The earth that produced it. Come on, somebody. And then God who gave you the ability and the wisdom to work hard to produce the cash to buy something like this. You thank God. It is only by you and your strength that I have something to eat. And then this week, I want you to enjoy the bread. I want you to enjoy the bread. Especially 85C bread. It's so, so soft. Okay? I want you to enjoy the bread. Baby, what? It sounds weird. You want us to delight in the things God gives us? It feels weird, right? I want you to delight. I didn't say hoard it. Okay? I didn't say go buy 1,000 more. That's unnecessary. I said whatever he has put in front of you, I want you to enjoy it. Enjoyment is an act or an expression of thanksgiving. When my kids enjoy the gifts I give them, I feel like they're grateful. When they look at the things I give them and go, I feel like killing people. Do you ever feel like that? All the parents here know. All the parents that cook, the moms here or dads that cook for your family, and you see your kids, it's so good. It's so good. They don't care about the nutrition. They're like, it's so good. I delight in your cooking. You feel blessed. So it is with our Father. What does that look like, PB? I want you to eat your meals literally like it's the best meal. Every person God gave you, I want you to enjoy them this week. Here's what I mean. Take complaining out of your week. Some of you prayed for your spouse. Some of you prayed for the friends you have. Some of you even prayed for the friends at work you have. But you treat them like they're not gifts. Your next date, I want you to have the best time. Yeah, your boyfriend's not gonna know what to do. This is the best movie ever. These popcorn, so good. Your text message was so sweet. Your husband or your boyfriend's gonna freak. Because we're so used to hearing complaints. Is that all you're gonna say? Is this all we're gonna do? This food sucks. We should have picked another place. You should have researched Yelp some more. A lot of couples are gonna fight today. But, so enjoy your bread. Do you have a nice home? Enjoy it. Clean it. Enjoy it. Take care of it. Do you have children? Enjoy them. Oh, they're such a burden. I can't wait till Monday begins so I can drop them off at the daycare. No, I want you to enjoy them. No amens for that, okay. And finally, this is what I want you to do. Baby, I want to be that give us our daily bread kind of person. I want you to share the bread. Share the bread. What did God give you? Did he give you a nice home? Are you proud of the house you have? Invite people over. Did you get a bonus? Take somebody out. It's so easy, isn't it? Share the bread God's given you. Share it. Now, before I finish, do you want a black belt level of sharing? This is just for a few, okay? This week, share it with those that are not deserving. Those that offended you. Those that you just cannot stand. Those that maybe shouldn't get some free bread from you. Share it. Look for them. Hey, I want to take you out. Hey, I want to give you something. Hey, I wrote you a letter. Hey. I want to give you something that blesses you and keeps you going in life the way God has given me bread every day to keep going in life. Is there someone who doesn't deserve it in your eyes? That is a black belt Jesus level. But if you can't do that this week by the Spirit, do at least those that are around you. Give to them the bread God gave you. Amen? Today we take our communion. If you can take your cup out. What a timely word for our communion Sunday. As we take communion, we are declaring that Jesus is our manna, the bread from heaven. He is God's daily bread for us. This is what we're really asking when we pray, that God will give himself to us daily. Jesus, the bread of life, through which God provides all that we need in life. He is our salvation, our sustenance. In taking communion, we humble ourselves, reminding ourselves that every good and perfect gift is from above. In communion, we practice the art of remembrance, remembering our Lord, his sacrifice, and his resurrection that gave us eternal life. In communion, we remain broken and dependent on our Lord as a church. Take your cup and your bread, put it up like this. Let's give thanks. We give thanks to God. We choose to delight in Him as we break and share His body and His blood. Take and eat His body. And take and drink the blood of our Lord given to us. After you have done so, I want you to pray. Start with, "Give me today my daily bread." And go ahead and thank the Lord. Make me a life that always remembers where I came from, who delivered me, I humble myself, Lord. In my prosperity and wealth, I often forget you. So please help me. Help me always side with the hurting and the oppressed. Yes. Keep me humble before you. Before I close, I want you to thank God for at least one thing in your life that is a blessing, that is a bread to you. Will you do that? It could be your family. It could be your job. What daily bread has He given you? Yeah. Jesus, you are our daily bread. We thank you. I bless this church in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen. Amen, church.